CliffCentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday.
I even had to think about that for a second. Like, where are we? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Hump day.
Hump day, Wednesday. Yes. They call it hump day because you get over Wednesday and you're on the downhill through it to the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, how's everybody?
Ooh, I had the final stretch of the flu last night.
You mean this uvula thing?
That whole uvula sicknessy mess of it all. Oh, well, final stretch.
I got a lot of emails about your uvula thing. People saying it was bullshit.
Number one, not bullshit. Number two, not STDs.
People were saying bullshit.
Even my sister
you
called
took
me.
It far.
No more bullshit. That's what people were saying. Please.
No.
Someone sent a very rude email in which they said it was definitely either cocaine or dick.
Wow.
Well, the dick part is probably my sister. Because when I told her last week, and I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on. She goes, well, when I and the things that you do.
Oh, that's
like,
so rude.
What's exactly going on? And I know not to trust her for sympathy anymore. But this is the problem with us. I am in a joint medical aid with my parents.
Oh, so, can you still get away with that now?
Well, yeah, I'm still, okay. Yeah, right. I'm still young enough. Still and it works for me. So what happens is every time I go to the doctor.
They find out.
My parents will get a notification.
I did think,
what if it is some sort of herpes? Mm. What if it's like an STD? And I go to the doctor on my way, then praying. I'm like, please don't let it be herpes. Then I need to get like herpes cream, and my mom finds out what I need right now.
You'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Lots of explaining to do.
That's the only downside of this whole family sharing joint accounts thing, is that my parents will always know.
Well, you're going to eventually have to get off their medical aid.
Right. Yeah, when I'm 28.
Yeah. Is that when that's when it expires? Oh,
they just actually boosted it like last year. I was like, score.
Nice. It really is good to be the youngest.
Yes. The second youngest now has her own child, so she has her own family, so she can't be on it anymore. I am free
good
sailing here. Yeah, you're the oldest. You don't know all
I
these
don't know
things.
Any of that.
Same here.
Like, get out.
You're the
get
oldest.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get out, make your own way.
Yep.
Oh, no, guys.
By the way, Ben's not here this morning. He is off to film some stuff. You know how it goes on this show. By the way, I got the most ridiculous message from Gord yesterday.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, you got a voice note, Nochal. I just God.
Everybody reckon, you know, people think that this show is very disorganized, but honestly, we try very hard to keep it organized. We really do. It's just it sometimes, and you listen to this whining from Gord now, you'll get an idea of what I mean. He feels bad about not being here, but he sounds terrible, and he's got this problem and that problem. I mean, I wouldn't want to be Gord right now for all the money in the world. You must hear what this guy's going through, huh? Sounds horrendous. Let me just find it. He probably doesn't even know that I'm going to play this, so I don't want to get him into any trouble, but listen to this. It's so awful. Here, let me get this on here. Listen to this.
You see, it's Gord. I just wanted to check in with a voice note and let you know that I haven't vanished off the face of the planet or suddenly started being a puss, at least not on purpose. I've had fucking bronchitis for a week.
Oh, and he goes on and on about how bad he feels.
I got a call from someone at work. Anyway, so...
By the way, listen to this. This is hilarious. So he, halfway through telling me this long sob story that I'm really not that interested in, he goes, blah, blah, blah.
That's just bad luck, but... I'm so fucking sick, dude. There's no way I can do radio. It's the same as last week. I just cough all the time. So I'm really sorry. Shit, now my phone's ringing. Hang on.
He can't even get a conversation with me finished before his phone starts ringing. And then he goes...
I got a call from someone at work. Anyway, so I apologize. I've been so absent. One time I wanted to come on the Friday, but then you guys were doing the weed thing. And then since then, it's just been work and illness. And Sia messaged me today and asked if I could come in tomorrow because one of them is away. And I had to apologize and say I'm sorry again. But, dude, yeah, I'm in my last month with this job. And in theory, after that, I should go back to being more flexible about my time because I'll be working full time for myself. So I do apologize. It's just been a bit of bad luck and a bit of work stuff. And for it all to be happening at the same time like this, pretty much consistently every Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
I didn't even think
I listened to that last part because I kind of tuned out eventually. But there it is.
He sounds awful.
He sounds horrendous. So your uvula situation, at least you were here. Gorgeous. it's just say to me, I can't come. I'm not really that. It's like if you invite people to your house or you do a party or a dinner or whatever. I don't need to know the million reasons why you can't make it. Just say, I can't make it, and I'll be fine with that. I'm totally okay. Just, I can't make it today. Sorry.
You see, you're like that, though.
Most people want it all.
What happened? And then you felt sick, and then you did what? And then how are you feeling now?
Yeah.
We need to be all involved. And I took a long time to realize that you just want her. One-line synopsis. Yeah. You don't need the fluff and the drama.
I don't need the whole thing. And if you can't make it, the show will go on.
Everything.
I'm also that person, though, who always feels the need to explain why and go into detail.
Don't. No one cares. Really, people don't. I mean, listen, we're all adults, and we don't need to be empathized with all the time. We're quite capable of looking after ourselves. We're all grown up and smart enough to figure out that, the way we feel isn't important to everyone.
But
it just is. Yeah. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's true.
But it's not.
I get it. It's just from this angle, it's like giving, affording the other person enough respect to say, this is why.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, I really can't make it today. Sorry.
No, I hear you, but just say, give me a line. Just say, I'm feeling really sick, not going to make it today, apologies. Then I know you mean it. I know that you feel bad about it because you say apologies, and you tell me what the problem is. So if anyone else asks, I have an answer. Right? That's it. I read, just talking about people and their feelings and making it everyone else's problem.
Yeah.
So a school teacher, a special education teacher in Minnesota, tweeted, you've got to stop tweeting about political shit, everybody. We've got to all stop. I've stopped it. When last did you read anything political from me on Twitter? Ages ago.
Is this what the special ed teacher says?
The special ed teacher says, so, who's going to take one for the team and kill Kavanaugh? So she's had to resign. What kind of stupid thing is that? This is where, again, people get caught up in emotions. Like those people who were banging on the door the other day of the Supreme Court, and I played you the clip. It's mad. Like, why would you? It doesn't affect you that much. It's not. You would swear the way that some of these people are going on that it was the worst and most dangerous time in American history, which it absolutely isn't. In fact, if anything, there are less wars under Trump than there have been under any other president up to now. Seriously, less wars.
Look, and it's just not a smart thing to do nowadays. You know the repercussions. We've seen people fall from grace. We've seen it case by case by case. And yes, one would argue, we got to fight and we got to say how we feel. Well, great. Say what you feel and then these are the repercussions.
And I had to even realize, like, most people don't care. We've got our show here, and that's a great place for all of us to talk and share ideas And by the way, I got to tell you about an interview I did yesterday. Amazing discussion with an amazing, amazing woman.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that later. I've realized a lot of the stuff that I rabbit on about that I think is so important, most people couldn't give a shit. They're like, what is this guy going on about? They don't. Because people are wrapped up in their own stuff. They've got work, they've got their health, they've got their relationships, they've got their family, they've got their friends, they want to have a bit of fun. Sometimes people aren't in a receptive mood for talking about, Tito Mboweni has replaced Nhlanhla Nene. Some people are very interested in that stuff. I get it. But a lot of people are just wrapped up in their own lives. They're actually driving down the highway thinking, I've just got to make it through today. People, it's hard out there. It may be harder than it's been financially for a lot of people in a while, especially here in South Africa. But it's not necessary to mouth off about everything. And that's hard for me. I've had to figure out, like, you don't need to share every single thought you have. It took me a while to get there. I don't know if I'm 100% there, because I still lose it with some things.
I don't think you can ever be 100% there.
No. Otherwise you're just detached,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I know I have a skewed view on this, but I think we strike a good balance of that.
Thank you. How kind of you to say it. Nice of you to say that about ourselves.
Very skewed view.
That's really nice.
Look, we'll touch on a bit of news, but then we'll also talk about Sex Island and the mess of it all.
We like to mix it up.
Yeah.
By the way, Nolo said that she, after the Sex Island discussion yesterday, which if you haven't heard, you need to go and listen to part two podcast of yesterday. Nolo said she's got to reveal her second addiction. Now, remember, her first addiction was chewing sponge foam from inside of, you know, the kind of foam stuffing you get in a mattress or in upholstery. Very strange thing. And she likes to chew on it, and she doesn't mind, especially if people have been sitting and farting on it the whole time. It's a pretty...
Yum, yum, yum.
It's such a gross thing. It's so gross. If you think about every ass that's been on the chair that you're sitting on right now, and you think about Nola, like, pulling off that layer of covering and, you know, fabric.
And smelling
it
first.
Grabbing hold of that sponge and then tearing off a chunk and stuffing it into her mouth.
Gee, you're taking me back.
But you don't do that anymore. So
no, I don't.
It's something
don't.
You used to do. You used to have a serious addiction. They caught her at the SABC in one of the back rooms stealing upholstery out of an old fucked office chair.
Don't go back.
Uh-huh.
Just
like a wild animal. She's like
a beast
of the field.
Just don't do it.
Nola was in the back rooms of the SABC.
With a knife
cutting through these old... It's just an unbelievable story. But she has another addiction that she's ready to reveal to us today. You're not making any of this up. I know for a fact.
No, I'm not.
You teased us a bit because you said on the WhatsApp group, you've got another addiction to reveal. So it's Wait. We've got to set this up for everybody. Okay. Make sure everyone's sitting down. Make sure you're not eating anything at the moment because you might throw up. You never know.
That might be a very good idea.
We were just minding our own business yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Get a notification from Nolo.
Ben even got nervous. He said, I'm definitely not coming tomorrow. So here it is.
So, my current addiction is those Dr. Pimple Popper videos.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
My sister watches those. She loves those.
So amazing.
Jesus,
so satisfying.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I don't know when exactly this started, but I remember when I was back in high school, I'd see someone with pimples and think, oh my God, I would literally pay you to pop your face right now. I love it. I love it, especially the blackheads and those cauliflower cysts.
Oh,
you pop them.
Cauliflower cysts.
They look like cauliflower when you've popped them, and you just squeeze it. You squeeze it. Oh!
Can I tell you something disgusting? Apparently, there are people who grow like a parasitic twin.
What?
Inside of a cyst. Somewhere on their skin. It's like a little malformed, like a little troll-like human.
Wait, as an adult you can grow these and it could be...
No, it's usually when you're a child. So what happens is that your little parasitic twin, sometimes there's, you know, it's meant to be a twin, it doesn't grow properly and then it attaches to you and then your skin grows around it like a cyst and inside there's bone and hair. And people have actually found these parasitic twins. They're like, "Ooh, my arm is so itchy," and they'll scratch a little bit, and then this little like disfigured, deformed face will like with little hands, little teeth.
Oh yeah.
How big can it be?
I don't know. Not very big. I mean, it's usually dead, but sometimes it's, you know, struggling around in there.
Okay, but that's my...
Great.
I don't think I'm getting over this anytime soon.
Who hasn't thrown up in their mouth right now?
But what was inspired... Not really inspired by the talk about the Sixth Island yesterday.
There's a YouTube channel to dedicate.
Yeah, there is.
Stuff,
yeah. Her name is Sandra, Dr. Sandra Lee.
Yes.
She is known as the pimple popper.
What is satisfying to you about it?
Seeing this burst thing.
Seeing stuff oozing out of people. And, oh, my God. Sometimes these cysts are so violent that when she pops them, they'll literally drench her from her face to her coat. And she'll be like, ooh, that was a good one. And she loves it.
What instruments does she use?
She uses tweezers. She uses this, I don't know what you call them, but there's this round
with
metallic
like a loop
thing. Yes. And then that's how she presses and extracts the blackheads. And with the cysts, she pops them. She stabs at them. And she just squeezes. Ooh.
Have you just gone on the...
I wanted to watch a video and just seeing one thing. I can't. No.
And the worst thing now is that I can even watch these videos while I eat and I'm not moved. I'm just like, oh yes.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, this is not such a strange thing. There are a lot of people who are very into this. They like seeing these medical things as long as it's not on them, and they're fascinated by it, and they watch other people having these problems sorted out and these things taken out and these extractions done, and it's just gross. I mean, look, there's got to be a part of every dermatologist and maybe those you know, there's people who do facials and the people who do... There's got to be some part of them that's like not squeamish at all about that stuff.
There has to be.
I could not touch another person's pimples or blackheads. Not for love or money. But you know how good it is. Like when you find an ingrown hair or something, right?
My boyfriend has to fight me off every time because I'm
here
with...
No. What I'm saying is if you find that and you pull it out in one go... The relief and the feeling of achievement. I get you. It's not something I'm into like you are, but I get like on my, if I find a, like if I'm in the, looking in the mirror, right, and I see like one stray hair or something that I haven't managed to get when I was shaving.
Oh, I am trying not to judge
you
guys.
Pull it out.
You
know,
yeah, damn right. Mm. And you do, you're like, ah, now I'm better. Just like an achievement thing. It's gross, but there it is. I'm glad you admitted that.
But just to put it out there.
It's a tough one to admit.
Yeah, I'd happily pay people to pop their faces.
Oh my God.
I have alcohol swabs on standby.
But sidebar, on like a skin treatment route, I heard popping your pimples isn't the best thing.
It depends.
Because it might leave scarring.
Exactly.
So I'm just putting that out.
If you just pop it and you don't do anything afterwards.
Did you have a good skin all the way through high school? Because I didn't. And I remember, like, if you would try to squeeze them, it could make it worse. They'd be there for much longer and they'd be redder and it would be worse. Mm.
But that's because you wouldn't apply any alcohol-based solution and you wouldn't apply any cream after that.
You see, you learned this from this doctor. But here's the thing. There are those people who just have perfect skins their whole lives long. See,
It's so unfair.
No, but there are. I mean, there were people at school with me, girls, guys, whoever. They just had great skin. It was like flawless the whole way through high school, which is always when you look the shittiest.
Yeah.
Right? And then... After high school, they never, even when, you know, if I grow a beard, I start getting itchy. I'm like, I don't want this thing on my face, you know? It drives me crazy. Some people, their skins are just perfect the whole life long. All right, so Kazi Tops says, who's going to take one for the team and call for the return of the laughing auntie from yesterday? Please play a clip. Please play a clip. Her hyena-like laugh is the stuff of legends. You're talking about Lorraine Maisel, who was with us yesterday.
It's that auntie from yesterday.
That auntie
That's
from
what
yesterday.
I love.
Let me tell you something, Kazi Tops. The funniest thing watching Lorraine is if I play that clip of her laughing, she starts laughing.
I don't get
that. And you
that.
Can't help but laugh when she laughs.
Her own laugh is the most infectious and funny thing in the world. And then another comment over here from Quentin. Gareth, if you thought the Dacha show was bad, try listening to yesterday's show, especially part two with Lorraine's laugh. Yes. So, Jesus, that laugh is unbearable, says Quentin. I so wanted to listen to Robin's garden segment, but I was afraid that if Lorraine started laughing, I wouldn't be able to make it. You might as well just have played the clip of her laughter on repeat. Anyway, love listening to the show. Isn't that interesting? Two kinds of feedback.
On either side of the scale.
Yeah. Someone's saying, Lubabalo, saying, Mbalin Jomane should come onto the show again. She's cool and super smart. Yeah, we haven't spoken to her in a while. That's a good idea.
Remember, we got her in on how to argue.
Right.
How to argue better.
That's correct. She did the series for us on how to argue better. Duncan says, I'm done with Latvia now. Hallelujah. Back at home in London, and I can listen to Cliff Central live, which is much better than listening to the podcast. I'm quite interested to know whether Cliff Central has seen good growth in both live streams and podcast numbers. It is befuck, Duncan. Okay, well, yes, we have. And because we're doing all these series now, we're attracting a whole different audience, which is also great. You know, we did... Why is Siri... I didn't talk to Siri. What
is going on?
Did you see that? Siri just started talking to me. Because we started all these series, there are a lot of people who have suddenly come on to hear like Decrypto or to hear the Smart Money series or Man to Man. There are so many of them. And these are people who probably wouldn't have listened to Cliff Central before. They probably don't even know we have anything to do with it. And that's okay. But they're listening to that series and that does it for them. And then they'll come back for season two or whatever.
Mm.
So it's very, I think it's exciting, and it's going in a direction I'm very, very happy with. You know, the idea of just getting in the car and listening to whatever's on just seems ridiculous now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like something, I jokingly said, I was in Cape Town a while ago, and one of the people I met said that her daughter got in the car and they were listening to radio, and the daughter said, I don't like this song that's playing. Let's change it. And the mother explained to her, no, that's not how radio works. Someone else is actually choosing the songs. And the daughter was really pissed off. She was like, that is ridiculous. Little girl, like 10 or 11 years old. She's like, that's ridiculous. Here's my phone. Let's plug this in instead. It occurs to people over a certain age that radio makes sense. But to people under that age, they don't get it at all. They don't see why you have to listen to some idiot or some stupid song you don't like, or have to go to the weather when they go to the weather or the news or the sport or anything else. Mm. It's crazy, right?
I'm thinking about it now and I realize my whole entire life is what I want and on demand.
Yep, totally.
The music that I listen
what
to.
What you eat.
What I eat, what I watch on television, because now I mostly watch anything that's either recorded or on catch-up. Yeah, so why?
Just the choices you've got, right? I mean, think about DSTV, right? Before we all thought DSTV, and some people still do, greatest thing ever because you've got 100, 200, 300 channels.
Even though you end up watching 8.
You only watch 8, of course. But we used to think this is the most amazing thing ever. Before that, before there was DSTV, there were only 4 channels. And if you didn't have Mnet, you only got open time.
On your Sunday night.
Jesus. No, it was every day. You'd like make sure you were in front of the TV because that was like your diet of good TV. The rest of it was shit.
At like 5, you got a bit of KTV.
Yeah.
There
you go. And you'd be like just tantalized enough. They'd say, we've got more only for the people who've paid. And you'd be like,
at 7,
no!
They cut it off.
No, maybe they'll just leave it on for an extra 5 minutes today. Remember? Before that, it was worse. Before that, it was just 3 channels.
Mm.
And they were all terrible. They had those shows that were dubbed into Afrikaans.
Yes.
And we would all watch them because they were the only kids' shows, even though it was bad dubbing with Afrikaans actors and actresses. And I imagine for our parents, it must have been even worse because TV only came to South Africa in like the late 70s. So what did they even do? Now we've got you on demand. You can get any show you want. Anything. You go on the internet and go on YouTube and you'll find whatever you like. It's amazing.
Oh, we've come so far.
Great. It is so great. I always say this, best time to be alive. All right, we're going to talk about Chris Tucker, who's refused to bash Donald Trump. Is he another Kanye West? We will find out. We've also got Brett Levy popping by. He's the former host of Futurology. And he has been he's been traveling. He's been all over the world. Recently started a business called Mergonomics. We'll talk about that.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about with Brett Levy later on. And we'll take your calls. You know what to do.
And then we'll also have the third episode of Decrypto.
Yes.
At 8.
Yes. And then I'll tell you about that interview I did yesterday, which I think you're going to be excited by. I certainly was. And I couldn't believe how important this woman was that I was talking to until I started chatting to her and saw how much she's doing and how much she's done. My God. I'll give you the inside track in just a moment or two. All right, news time. Let's see what's going on. Well, North Korea's Kim Jong-un has invited the Pope to Pyongyang. How's that?
I'm trying to envision it in my head.
But talk about opening up. I mean, this is unheard of. You know, North Korea is famously not a religious state, right? It's a communist state where you don't, there is no state religion. But actually, the state religion is worshipping Kim Il-sung, really. So it's a religion, but it's not called a religion. But they've never allowed religious leaders in. So apparently the Pope has been invited, and the invitation was delivered by South Korean president. So you can see relations are improving here. No Pope has ever visited North Korea, though the late Pope John Paul II was once invited. North Korea and the Vatican have no formal diplomatic relations. During the meeting with Pope Francis, Mr. Moon from South Korea will relay the message from Chairman Kim Jong-un that would ardently welcome the Pope if he visits North Korea. Mr. Moon's spokesperson, Kim Yoo-kyom, said to reporters. Isn't that interesting? This, you would never have guessed this. Just think about how 6 years ago, this guy was arming up, he was threatening Japan, he was saying we're going to, you know, test our rockets. Not even 6 years ago, 3 years ago. And everybody said, oh, this Donald Trump, he's going to take us to the brink of war. Just give a little bit of credit here. This guy seems to have softened Kim Jong-un's approach to the world. He's inviting foreign leaders in. He's talking to the biggest thing is he and the president of South Korea are talking. This never happened. It's amazing. This is a major move forward. It makes the world a much safer place. I know you hate Trump. A lot of people do, but this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is a big move. All right, so there's a little news from the secret of North Korea. Tito Boeni, who was in here not so long ago, remember he popped by to speak to us not so long ago, and he's been a friend of the show, and he's been a very open and honest ex-cabinet minister. He was the minister, he was the governor of the Reserve Bank under Nelson Mandela, minister of labor for some time, and Cyril Ramaphosa has named him as the new finance minister, reassuring markets after a jittery week in which Nhlanhla Nene, who we know is a good guy, was questioned about his integrity.
What a day it was yesterday with these developments.
Yes, but I really hope that the president uses this opportunity to just clean that cabinet of all the shit. Because if you're going to get rid of Nene, who really was not the worst of the bunch, you've got Malusi Gigaba who's sitting there, who directly enabled the Guptas to first of all get their papers in order so they could come here and loot the country. Second of all, opened up the sluices for Eskom and all the public enterprises. I mean, this guy is still sitting in the cabinet.
Well, did you see what the EFF is pushing for?
What?
Following what has happened yesterday, the Economic Freedom Fighters are now saying that the president must apply, in their words, the same consistency with other ministers who continue to serve in his cabinet.
Excellent.
Like Gigaba, Nomvula, Mokonyane, and Batabile Dlamini.
Our president he doesn't take orders from anybody except the EFF.
Like a reaction.
This is what Julius wants us to think, is that he's secretly controlling things. And maybe he is, because the president is so shit scared of the EFF stealing more votes in the next election that he's preempting everything they do or trying to preempt or reacting to. And just keep cleaning, Cyril. Mm. Keep cleaning. Get David Mabuza out. Get Batabile Dlamini out. Just clean the rot, because then I don't care if it's the EFF who gets the credit. I really don't care. Do you?
No.
As long as the work is
great,
done.
Great ministers, that would be amazing.
This is what they're saying in their statement. This is the EFF. They're saying these ministers have demonstrated the same disregard of ethical conduct shown by Nene. And like Nene, they too have undermined Parliament's accountability mechanisms. Their continued stay in cabinet sends a message that Ramaphosa is inconsistent and fails to put the interest of South Africans above those of ANC's big shots.
Now, we can all see what's going on here, right? We all know what's happening. We all know that this is the EFF. They're playing politics. But so what? If it gets us better ministers and we can get the shit out, of course we must do this. Makes perfect sense. Let's see what Tito does. I mean, there's some things he's been tweeting lately that don't make a lot of sense. But then on Twitter, very few people make sense. It's not a place to judge anything by. I don't know. Let's see what happens. But Tito was leaving Tain Hase yesterday, and he declined all comments on the economy and his policy priorities, jokingly telling reporters, "The president has taken my freedom away."
Oof. It's very interesting because yesterday, after the announcement was made, I saw a screenshot of a tweet that he, you know, tweeted in Jan, saying that against, you know, his team's advice, he has to say that he's not available to be minister.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. And that he would happily be in an advisoral role, but not actively be.
Well, I think that, you know, the pickings are slim. Apparently, apparently the president did ask Mkabisi Jonas and he said, no, I'm not available.
You know, there is so much pressure in being the cleanup guy.
Oh, for sure. Especially when you've got an economy that's in decline.
Because you...
You know, if the economy's doing great, sure, you want to be finance minister.
Because there's a moment of amazing hoopla around, you're the savior, okay? And then after 2 seconds, get to work, clean us up, there we go. You were brought in, let's see what you can do.
Well, the ANC have welcomed Tito's appointment as finance minister. We don't care what the ANC says, do we? I mean, they're the ones who supplied us with all the terrible ministers as well. Okay, the founder of Bring Back Our Girls. Do you remember Bring Back Our Girls?
In Nigeria.
Yes, was formed to help free the 276 girls who were kidnapped by militants in Chibok in northern Nigeria in 2014. Well, according to the BBC, a former education minister and World Bank vice president, Obi Ezekwesili, was endorsed over the weekend by the opposition as its presidential candidate. So that person is running as the opposition candidate in the Nigerian polls for 2019. How's that?
I don't know much about them, but if they were spearheading the Bring Back Our Girls and if they now rule Nigeria, that would be a whole new wave for the country.
Yeah, she apparently wants to bring back change or bring change to the country as it was retrogressing under the current administration. She would also be Nigeria's first female president if she is elected. So isn't that interesting? Bring Back Our Girls founder. I mean, that was a good cause. Who didn't support that? And it's always nice to see someone who goes into active politics after being, you know, somebody who's tried to drive change and to make things happen outside of politics.
It wasn't just a hashtag and a trend and then it died down and that was it.
Exactly. The Catholic Church has distanced itself from explosive sex abuse claims. Who wants to know about this?
I'm talking
about the Catholic Church here in South Africa, all right? This is horrible.
I mean, there's a story like this every couple of days now.
Yeah, a media conference was held in Joburg on Tuesday. And a guy from Limpopo, William Segodisho, revealed how he had allegedly been abused in the 80s by a UK priest and the church had covered it up when he tried to report it. The retired Jesuit priest is currently living in a nursing home in the UK. He returned to Britain in 1990. The Jesuits, of course, are an order in the Catholic Church. The abuse, which is said to have happened between 86 and 89, allegedly occurred after the priest befriended Segodisho while he was living in a street shelter for children. Ay, ay, ay.
That's even worse.
He claims he was allegedly molested and raped as a way of repaying the priest for his kindness. Joe. Awful. And the Constitutional Court, of course, ruled that a section of the Criminal Procedure Act, which imposed a 20-year limit on prosecution for sexual assault, was unconstitutional. Up until June, only rape survivors had been able to lay a criminal charge after the 20-year limitation. Hmm. So a lot of people are saying that this is terrible, and we need to know how to combat this. And it's not just in the Catholic Church and other parts of the world. It seems to be something here as well.
You are doing just about everything. Fundraising, coordinating, planning the running of the shelter and all that. He took a very keen interest in me. All the masturbations took place and then it went on to the kissing. which I didn't like at all. I didn't mind the masturbation, but the kissing was disgusting. Thinking of kissing another man, I was not even thinking of kissing a girl.
Yeah. He was very emotional during his testimony.
Shame, man.
Yeah, what an awful thing to happen. I always think it's just the most terrible abuse of power and influence. You know, when someone in an authoritative position, when someone who's respected in the community abuses that respect, abuse children. Good Lord, that's the worst betrayal you can possibly do. Anyway, so there's some five things you need to know. Today. There's no Ben, so there's no sport. Bitcoin.
Can I steal his? Oh.
You want to do sport?
No, I was going to steal his slot and
What were you going to do, Nona?
I was going to tell you about my business idea.
We can talk about that. Bitcoin trading at $6,575 and Ethereum at $224. Not much of a change. Not much of a change for the last couple of weeks, actually. That means either that the people who were messing with this on purpose, if you listen to some of the speculation, have stopped, or that it's finding a little bit of stability and balance after a very prolonged up and down session. So let's keep an eye on cryptocurrencies. Remember, we've got our series called Decrypto, which is available for download on cliffcentral.com. Episode 3 today. Two of them already there for you to listen to. And we're releasing them 1 week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
There are other series where you can get the whole lot and binge listen. And this is one where we're going to release it one after the other. Okay, let's just quickly, this is interesting. You got my attention now. What's your business idea?
So, as I said on the group, this is something I've been thinking about for a couple of months.
Yesterday was a big day of sharing.
Nona was very, she was very sherry yesterday. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So, when you guys spoke about the Sixth Island, I remembered. Shit, there's this idea that I've been thinking about and haven't really put it down on paper, but it's a rough one, and I'll tell you what it is. So it's going to be an app, right?
Okay.
Everyone's making an app, by the way.
Yeah, well,
dial a what?
Dial a dick.
Oh boy! All right,
let's just take a moment.
So. I've done my research officially and unofficially. Yeah, okay. I've spoken to a number of girls. I've spoken to a number of guys. Seers, for example, who aren't really that much into being in a relationship. They'd rather have someone who stays far away or whatever the case may be. But their needs have to be fulfilled at the end of the day. So. Obviously, I would screen, these guys would be screened, all of them.
Yeah.
They'd be measured, all the dimensions.
So you'd know what you were getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Ahead of the time, yeah?
Yeah, you have to.
Right.
And basically, it would work just like, I don't know, any other app, man. If I can buy my food, my groceries, my alcohol, medicine on an app, then
why can't you get this?
You know what I mean?
May
sure.
I be blunt? Yeah. So it's like having a prostitute on call.
I did anticipate that question because prostitution is not legal in South Africa. I'm working around a way of packaging it. You know, it's all
packaging
about the packaging.
The package.
Yes, it's all about the packaging. Mm. If it comes across as a sort of a dating app, but myself and the clients, we all know what it's about.
So it's like a club online.
Pretty much.
You have to join, you have to consent.
Mm-hmm. All of that.
Okay.
Dialectic.
I think it has a lot of potential.
All right, well, Nolo, while you get busy becoming a billionaire with Dialectic, got a lot to get to today.
Look, someone probably rolled their eyes at Hugh Hefner when he said, want to play
Who knows?
Playboy.
I want to be an early investor. I'll put in 10 bucks.
Her face dropped after that. I'll be an early tester. I'll test the app out for you.
Thank you.
I'll go through that hard work.
Let's get to Said by Sia this morning. What do you got for us? nutcases.
Oh my goodness. Look, it's not as great as Dial-A-Dick. But remember last week I spoke about some medical advancements in spinal injury patients being treated and them showing some improvements.
Yeah, you said there was a person who'd never walked before who'd learned to walk.
So someone, after listening to that, actually sent me a link to this. And I've done my research and it's quite fascinating because in a world first, there are now gene therapy trials that are being, that are taking place and that have restored vision in patients with genetic form of blindness. This is exciting to say the least. So this new gene therapy trial has restored full or partial vision to a few blind patients who were robbed of their sight because of a genetic condition. This study was launched back in 2011. So it's always really incredible to see how these scientists and doctors will be so persistent with what they're doing for years on end. If they started in 2011, it's been what, 7 years now, back at the University of Oxford. And they recruited 14 patients to receive an eye injection of a virus which contains a missing gene that caused the blindness. So with this missing gene being put into the eyeball, they've been able to monitor and see certain patterns in all 14 of the people, 14 of the patients. And by the end of the study, there was a significant gain in vision across a group of patients as a whole. So really, it is incredible. Furthermore, of the 14 patients, 12 of them received the treatment without any complications at all. And they've been able to maintain vision in their treated eyes. Some have sustained up to 5 years of an improvement in their vision. And during this time, only 25% of the untreated eyes, which acted as a control group, really maintained their vision. I think this is incredible. It is a world first for treating genetic condition, and the treatment was generally well tolerated with no significant safety concerns. The ophthalmologist who led the trial, Dr. Professor Robert McLaren, says that the early results of vision improvement have been sustained for as long as we have been following up with these patients, and in several, the gene therapy injection was over 5 years ago. And he says that the trial overall has made a big difference to their lives. Look at this. This is a plot of some incredible science fiction futuristic movie, and the fact that we're seeing this now in 2018, firstly, kudos to this team that's been working since 2011. But then secondly, look, if it's treating people, they're saying that so far they've worked with 14 people, and they aren't saying it's for blindness overall, but for people who are suffering from genetic conditions. I think this is only just a natural step. So congratulations to this team. It's encouraging to hear this, and that's Suseb Basir for this morning.
Very good. If we can help people who have not been able to walk, we can cure spinal conditions. I mean, this will rescue a whole bunch of people whose lives are just horrible. This by comparison, is
like,
I mean,
it's crazy. Not even happening in 2045. Yeah. Here we are in 2018.
All right, we got Brett Levy popping by to join us in the next little while. Very keen to catch up with him and see what he's been up to. I mentioned that I did an interview yesterday with someone called Beth Comstock. She is, she's a powerhouse in business. She worked with General Electric for a number of years. She was the vice chairman by the time she resigned in 2017. Mm-hmm. An incredible career. She worked with some of the best people there. She worked at NBC for a time. She founded Hulu. It's huge. She founded Hulu along with a couple of other people. She was offered to work for Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs asked her to come and work for him twice, and she turned him down.
Whoa.
She's currently on the board of Nike. She's in just like in the middle of corporate America. There's this woman who has so many roles and who's played such an important part in the powerful business, I suppose, influence that only the highest of corporate executives can wield. And she's been doing that for a couple of years. She's written an incredible book, which I'll share with you in a little while. But she'll be joining us tomorrow, just after 8. I spoke to her yesterday, and we'll have that ready for you by tomorrow, 8 o'clock. And in case you missed it yesterday, it's only about 15 to 20 minutes, but I got to speak to three authors of papers that have basically been used to discredit a number of humanities subjects, which are being taught at U.S. universities as if they're real subjects. Things like intersectionality and identity politics and a whole lot of these kind of postmodernist leftist ideas. You know, the idea that, that body positivity is a real thing and it's not a health risk. These three authors have written papers which they'll pretty much help you to debunk just what rubbish this is that they're feeding children as if it's a legitimate study, as if it's a course that's worth taking up at university, as if it isn't a waste of their parents' money. And it would be worth your while to hear it. It's short, it's very sharp, it's to the point. Peter Boghossian, who's been on the show before, he teaches in Portland, Oregon, and his two colleagues, Helen and James, who authored these papers with them. Seven of these papers that they wrote were published in credible academic journals, the kind of journals that publish leading articles in these fields. And they were made up. They were completely contrived. They were designed to fool the publishers and to fool the academics who pat each other on the back as if they're teaching people useful things. And it's revealed just what crap there is going on in academia at the moment. So if you're a parent who is putting your child into the humanities and they're studying something like intersectionality, it's time you stop paying and wasting money on giving them a degree or a course that is going to be absolutely worthless because it has no application in the real world. There's no method to any of this. It's totally made up. It's bogus. And it's insulting, frankly, to people who do dedicate themselves to studying actual degrees in the sciences and in commerce and in law. It's outrageous that someone who's making nonsense up ought to be able to teach and to persuade people that this is a worthwhile way to spend their time. Clearly, that there's no spine to this thing. It falls apart when you manage to get Mein Kampf. 3,000 words from Mein Kampf turned into intersectionality theory. It just shows you it's total nonsense. And you would want to hear this interview if you're interested in that stuff.
Yeah, just listening to it yesterday as well made me think about, and I'm not being pessimistic in this approach, but what if there are people who are actively trying to influence the world in a negative way and we just don't know? What if they're infiltrating into systems?
Well, they probably are, but they're not. What the point of I think what they've revealed here is that these are not useful courses to study. These are not important fields.
Yeah, no better.
They're not important. They don't add, they don't produce any value in the economy. They don't produce anything of substance. It's like going to a tree hugging group on a Thursday at 5 and everybody gets around the oak tree and they hug it and then they feel better about themselves and then they go home. That's not a degree. That's not studying a degree. You're not allowed to do that and call yourself a qualified person. That's a support group, usually for losers.
I'm still surprised as to how the papers got published.
Well, because there's no basis for any of this stuff. It's totally made up. So you can also make something up. You could have probably got something published in one of these journals if you just wrote about, for example, they did one. If you listen to the interview, there's a lot more examples, but they did one where they wrote about how bodybuilding is actually a bigoted thing because they don't allow fat people to participate in bodybuilding. And fat tissue is also a tissue, just like muscle tissue, so it's discrimination. And this got published because people are like, well, yes, you know, body positivity. And what the postmodernists are doing is they're putting all this shit out there about how it's the structure, it's the system, it's the patriarchy that keep all of this stuff in place. And that's why a really fat person can't enter a bodybuilding competition. But actually it's deeply, deeply disturbing and very unhealthy for people to consider that the fatter you get, the happier you could be. It's outrageous. We all know that that's not true. And this stuff has actual real-world consequences in some cases because people start to believe that that's the reality, and it's not. It's totally rubbish. You can listen to the three of them and hear for yourself. All right. So if you just woken up now and you're like, well, what's going on in the world? Tito Mboweni is our finance minister. This is not 2003. Okay? He's actually back. He's the finance minister now. So if you've just woken up, you don't know what the hell's going on, That's what's going
on. Listen to the first hour. You'll catch up
with
the world.
Tito, baby. Mm-hmm. Tito is back. So how's that for a little bit of a wake up this morning? Yeah. Can you believe it?
Okay, Casper, your vest. Okay.
Right. All right. So tell us what's on your mind. You can call us on 0861-555-189. We can have Brett Levy in for a discussion, catch up with him. Lots of stuff to get into. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.